from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know, it's going to be a lot of things put out there before the game to try to make it bigger than what it is. But ultimately, you know, it's going to go out there once the game starts. It's 11 against 11.
It's not big to you? You don't have that game circled, Trey?
I don't have it circled, but I would say, like, the people there, the relationships that I built there, they're going to last a lifetime.
Yeah. We'll see once you pick off Josh Allen. I don't know if he's going to...
The Bills love me so much, I'm pretty sure I pick off Josh Allen, they're going to cheer for me a little bit, too.
Take that, J.A.
That's Tre'Davious White with Kay Adams. I forgot the Bills played the Rams until I saw that clip.
Yeah.
And then I thought, would Bills fans cheer for Tre'Davious White if he picked off Josh Allen? Depends on the game situation.
Wouldn't it be one of those where you're like, ah, like you kind of like are grinning while
Maybe.
You're like throwing your hands up a little bit?
Steve Tasker with us here. Small cheers for him if he picks off Allen?
Might depend when in the game.
I feel kind of good about it if you win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of good.
Laugh about it when it's over.
Exactly, but you need to win the game.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You don't need him pick six at the last minute.
Yeah,
to win
I know.
It, you know,
and that's one of the, I mean, I would say like one of the tough ones. The Bills' schedule's tough. The Rams are in there.
Yeah, it's one of the toughest in the league.
Yeah.
From this end of it, it always looks tough. You never know what it looks like from the other end. Some of these teams fade, and some of them aren't that good, and so you know, you never know. But from this end of it, yeah, it looks tough.
First day of pads. How big a deal is that?
It's a deal. There's always seems to be guys who have been playing well to this point who disappear. And then there are other guys who, like, show up, you know. You got guys who, and moms and dads know this when you let your kid play, tackle football and stuff. Some kids have a normal sense of self-preservation. Some kids have an overdeveloped sense of self-preservation, and some kids have an underdeveloped sense of self. I was one of the underdeveloped kids, right? I'd jump in, right? I had big brothers, you know, stuff. So I felt like I was going to survive. Let's go, you know. I didn't bother me. Other guys, it follows them their whole life, and that kind of sticks with you. So you get a chance to see who really likes to mix it up. It's a must.
Yeah.
You have to be good with it, and you find out some guys are, you know, just not good enough with being knocked around, and they disappear. And, so you got to find those guys. And it's strange, though. It always seems to be a couple of guys who, you know, this guy's, man, he looks great, and all of a sudden, you know, he shies away from it. That's a problem.
Yeah. I wonder how big a deal it'll be for Keon Coleman, because he flashed a little bit over the weekend. And once pads come on, I have to think, like, press coverage stuff and, like, getting off the line of scrimmage, which is the thing that a lot of draft analysts have said, like, he might have needed a little bit of work on.
Yeah, because here's the thing. It's the defense finally feels like they can play. Mm-hmm. So that they get turned up a notch, both in their attitude and their ability to do things. The guys up front get turned loose a little bit on defense. Yeah, it's going to be a different attitude out there. Keon's a big dude, and it's not like these guys, you know, they don't come out of a vacuum. I mean, Florida State and Michigan State where he played, I mean, he's been playing tackle football for a minute. I'd be a little surprised if he didn't have a plan and wasn't okay with getting a little ramshackled at the line, you know. So we'll see how it goes. But I would be surprised if these guys like Cole Bishop and these guys – didn't have a, you know, ability to mix it up. So yep. I'll be surprised. You're always surprised when guys like that happen. Like, what's your problem? You know, why didn't you? Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, slap the guy back, you know, but some guys don't.
Steve Tasker joining us from St. John Fisher, sitting here as we bring you coverage of Bills training camp. It's brought to you by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. Brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose, affordable Ford Bronco Sport. You guys will be out here again, One Bills Live today, broadcast live every day. There's a lot to go over, a lot of change for this team. Before we get to that, I mean, maybe the biggest change, the new kickoff. You have a feel for it. Are you excited? Are you, I mean, I'm going to ask like a purist, because it is such a radical change that we're all waiting to see what it looks like. The preseason might be more interesting than ever just because of that.
That's just it. I'm interested. I'm really interested in what it looks like because there's no question that when they throw this in there, special teams coaches are dissecting it and trying to find a loophole, you know. And I'd be interested, too, as to what kind of athlete would work best in this, because it's a condensed version. It's the last 3 seconds of a normal kickoff. Everybody's already down there. And then when the guy catches it, here we go, we can move. So I think you're going to need a different kind of athlete. Speed is always a crusher. I mean, you need that if you can get it. But I don't know that it's going to be paramount to success. You need guys that can close the gap and stay on task. The space is going to be condensed. It looks to me like the last 2 or 3 seconds of a hard running play. Maybe a little more space than that from what I've seen on film. And so, it's really interesting because nobody's, you know, and in the preseason, you're going to get whatever vanilla thing they've got.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get the, you know, the super deluxe package return. And if there's any crossing or X-ing or, you know, or you know, switching lanes by the kickoff guy, you're never going to see that either. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to see it in full force and even until the regular season.
I wonder, you know, from like, think about offense versus defense and personnel packages, right? Like, if you come out with your goal line offense, you send out that kind of defense. If you come out with your trips to the right, well, okay, we're going to match defensive backs. I wonder if week one of the season doesn't roll out and one team thinks it's a linebacker kind of return, and that team thinks it's a wide receiver slash defensive back type
right.
of bodies. Like, you could have a big body team against it, and one could blow the other off the ball, or like, it's just.
Yeah, if you go out there, if your return team goes out second, and they've got guys like me out there, you know, what's to keep you from rolling out your offensive line roster and your defensive line roster and just rugbying it down the field.
Yeah, looking for 8 pancakes right off the start.
Yeah, not even pancakes. You get big guys.
It's going to hold you. And
you get big guys, and there's rugby moves you can do where the big guys ball up, and they start steamrolling down the field, and the guy starts to do it, the next guy comes in, takes the ball from him, and just continues it on. And if he starts to go down, the guy behind him, you know, and they're all 6'5", 3 Bills, guys like me ain't getting them down. So you're going to have to, like, literally throw yourself in there and have them trip over your body. Matchups, I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but that's a distinct possibility. If you see those guys roll out there early, and like, they say, okay, here's our kickoff team. It's like, well, you're going to put those guys out there. Okay, hey, match up with our Delta personnel, and you send out your 747s, and let's go.
Yeah.
See if you can hang in there.
Maybe this won't change too, but I'm interested in who gets used as returners. The Bills were already doing running backs last year. Ty Johnson got a lot. But if, like you mentioned, if it looks kind of more like a run play than ever, I don't know, wouldn't that inherently mean you think more running backs might get used in the return game?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have athletes out there. And I was thinking, too, if you're going to do – and I do use the rugby analogy a lot because it does seem like it's going to be a little bit spacey in there. But it's also going to be a power kind of game. Rugby, you don't block for anybody, right? So if you could use some concepts from that, I would experiment with that a little bit. I just don't think anybody knows exactly what it's going to be, except, you know, you got to have a guy that's used to having the ball. You don't want to kick that thing to an offensive lineman, obviously. So you need some guys back there that can handle the ball. But how many?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
The ball has to travel to the 20 in the air. And I know this. Teams have been practicing just getting it to the 20, you know, 5 feet off the ground, and that thing drops and knuckles in there, and you got a problem then because there's no timing to the return when the ball's bouncing sideways. So, yeah, this thing is hairy.
Do you like that they've done this? Because it felt like just the way kickoff was before, like that's the play.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're watching on TV, that's the play to get up and go to the bathroom for, because there's usually nothing that's ever going to happen.
And it may turn into that again.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they did this because the alternative was just taking it out and it's a 4th and 10 or 1st and 10 on the 20. But let's go and you take a special teams player play completely out of the game. When I was in the room when they were deciding the first kickoff thing, when they were a standing start like we've seen the last 5 or 6 years, I can't remember when that was, but the league said we're committed to keeping the foot in the game, so they wanted to keep the kickoff in there at all costs. So they've escalated to this point where they've changed it one more time. It's hard to take the velocity out of the game when you time everybody in a 40 to make sure you got the fastest guys. And it used to be the kickoff was, you know, it was guys like me or bigger than me running hard for 40 or 60 yards, and the other guys running the other direction, and nobody's trying to avoid each other. We're just crashing into it. It's like a car wreck. So they had to fix that, and they've been working on it ever since.
Steve Tasker joining us from St. John Fisher. Bill's padded practice today. Going to be a hot one as well. The offense has been hot. Let's talk about what you've seen from this group. One of the things I think it's been noted is the tight ends. Big day yesterday, Kincaid, Knox. And in this offense, do you get the sense that they're going to be a little more vertical in the way that the passing game is designed?
Kincaid gives them some flexibility to do some more things with him. I mean, you're not going to do that with guys like Mercedes Lewis around the league, you know, the big dudes who can't, you know, who are just big. Kincaid's ability to run routes and win against smaller guys is good. Knox has always been a really good tight end. I like, you know, because of his height and size. He's nifty in between the numbers. So, yeah, I think we didn't get a chance to explore 12 personnel last year because Knox wasn't on the field for too long. I have been okay with where their offense is coming into this season for a long time. Those two guys with Cook, with Shakir, even though Shakir is the only wide receiver who's caught a ball from Josh in the game, I was like, you know what, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, Keon, they got enough guys. They're going to be fine. They got enough talent out there. They got physical ability. They got size, speed. They're fine. So the offense is not my issue at all coming out of this training camp. I think this is the opposite of where they were in 2017 when Sean took over. They made a couple of trades right before the deadline, and everybody thought they were tanking. But the defense was churning out turnovers, and they were getting some stuff going while the offense kind of found itself. And they got into the playoffs that year with Tyrod and those guys. I think this is the opposite of that. I think this offense is going to score enough points to win games while the defense finds itself this time. But I think there's going to be a transition period, I think, for the defense.
Okay. Is that mostly the secondary changeover for you? Is it
both,
the pass rush?
I think Milano's going to be fine. I think Milano and Bernard are really going to help.
Yep.
I have a lot more faith in Kyrie Elam than probably a lot of people. Certainly Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas. They got three really good corners four with Taron. The safeties, they're a question mark. Mike Edwards, he's going to be fine. He's done it. Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp, we'll see. the thing that made Micah and Jordan so good was their ability to fool quarterbacks but pre-snap. Now, if they don't do that, I don't know if that makes them all that much susceptible, because Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop, and Mike Edwards are a lot more athletic than Micah and Jordan. They're faster, they break better, they're just looser athletes, and they're more available because they don't get hurt because those guys are in the early 30s. So that's a plus. So once McDermott and those guys get their hands on these guys, get some live game reps, and they start getting it, I think the defense will come along very well. And I think, I've said it, I think this has a chance to be Sean McDermott's best team he's ever had at the end of this season. But I don't know that it's going to be there right at the beginning.
You know, Taylor Rapp is an interesting one because they signed him last year. He's a name on the market, and he signed for very little for 1 year. And we wondered, is this kind of like a setup? And I think it speaks a lot to how they feel about him that he did play that 1 year and then immediately an extension, 3 years for him and, you know, regular good safety, good starter money. So if I'm thinking about the newcomers, even though he was here last year, that are about to become household names or star names in this defense, I think Rapp's at the top of my list because the Bills got him for a 1 year tryout, liked it, and committed.
Yeah, that says a lot. I think they like Mike Edwards, too, coming over from the Kansas City Chiefs. He wasn't the starter at the beginning of the year, but he did because of injury. He got in there, started in the Super Bowl, and, you know, he's got a ring. I like all the guys they've got. As prospects and as guys you signed up, you know, on free agency and through the draft with Colbert, it's like, wow, okay. I like him. Well, we still got to see it now. Certainly they've got the chops. All of these guys have the chops to be a really good secondary. The problem is, it's like the offensive line. You don't even know, they didn't know each other 6 months ago. And that's as easy as it sounds now with training camp. They've been living together for a week and a half. It sounds easy, but it takes some reps. So we'll see how far and how fast they get there.
So you mentioned a minute ago that you think this has a chance to be McDermott's best team.
Yeah.
Like, really, and you kind of made reference to, like, by the end of the year as they figure some stuff out. So
they got to hang in there. They got to get there.
Yeah, because we mentioned the schedule's tough too.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much you give respect to the division is actually harder than it's been. Is it similar?
Yeah, the Jets are a problem.
Yeah.
The Jets are a problem. Now, they got a 41-year-old quarterback, and he's got to take 1,000 snaps this season to stay in there. Like 1,000 snaps in the NFL at quarterback, and he's wearing a big target. You know, we'll see if Aaron can make it through. If he does, the Jets are a real problem, not just for the Bills in the AFC East, but for everybody, because they got some dudes. So that's a problem. But they've got two aged tackles, offensive tackles, and an aged quarterback. Everybody else on that roster is rock solid. We'll see. And I like their head coach. I like Saleh. He's a smart guy. And he leads those guys, and they seem to play hard for him. So, yeah, the Jets are a problem. The Dolphins, for lack of a better way to put it, hey, Josh has their number. Two is like 0-5 against us. Josh is 9-2 or 10-2 against them, and the only two games they lost are game. It's like, how do you lose that game?
Yeah.
The 93-degree game down there where we just – and then the Charles Clay drop in the end zone. I mean, come on. Josh should be undefeated against those guys. So those it's hard to – you know, have any angst about the Dolphins series this season.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at by that is, like, between their division and their schedule, I almost wonder if they could have a similar record to what they had last year, but maybe inspire more confidence going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think – I don't – you know, they were 5-5 at one point last year, something like that, and they won
six
their
– 6-6.
6-6, and they got – you know, they closed it out with 5 straight wins. They were a much better team than they were getting credit for last year when they were 6-6. But you still got to win games like that. This is a team that it's been 40 regular season games since they lost one by 6 points or more, by more than 6 points. They're hard to beat. That's going to continue to be the case.
I think it's Buffalo and Baltimore. Baltimore has that streak active as well. That might even include the postseason. Like, these two teams are great. You know, they're consistently good.
Their quarterbacks, Lamar and Josh, are really good. And these two teams, and the Chiefs and the Bengals, when they're healthy, any of those teams could go to and win the Super Bowl. They're all good enough, and they have been for like 4 years, right? But you got to play well on that day. And you know, that's the Bills haven't been able to do that.
And you got
to
be healthy. Like, that's another.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah. People, the last time the Bills lost, I feel like they played pretty well.
But they had Trey White out. They had Daquan out. They had Milano out. You know,
and Bernard.
Terrell Bernard
was out. They lost their playoff game with two. Yeah. AJ Klein wasn't even on the team a couple weeks before that.
So that's, you know, there you go.
That happens. Rest of the league stuff, you know, like who else interests you? NFC, AFC, anybody else out there you find interesting this year?
Yeah, the Niners are going to be tough again. Kyle Shanahan, I got a lot of respect for. He does more with less, and they've got a lot. So he does a lot with a lot, right? Yeah. He's always going to be there. Detroit is interesting to me because throughout their history, they can't keep it together. They'll have a nice year, and then they're back to where they've been since 1950s. And Alex Karras was there, for crying out loud. That's where they go after a great year, and they had a nice year last year, a really good year. Green Bay is interesting to me because they were so young last year, and they went. Maybe they just didn't know better, but they played really well down the stretch, and they're very young. Jordan Love just signed his deal. They look good and young, and you know, like they're wherever other team would, you know, that's a storybook right
yep.
there.
I mean, now,
that's exactly what you're trying to do.
Now, welcome to pressure.
Yeah, now welcome to expectations and a first place schedule. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. You know, Caleb Williams in Chicago. I think the Bears are going to be the Bears. I have a hard time getting. I went to school in Chicago, mm-hmm. and. They do not inspire confidence to me. I'm sorry. We'll just see.
There's two franchises that have that, Bears and the Jets, right? The Jets are going to Jets. The Bears are going to Bears. Yeah. You would think, hey, it's lined up. They're finally going to turn the corner. They got to – like their own fans, the New York Mets are this as well, right?
Like they just when you start to think expect the worst.
Yeah.
The Bears and the Jets, Brownie says this all the time on our show, the Jets are masters of self-sabotage.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. –
Yeah, while that may be true, I mean, last year's a perfect example, the four plays into the season, and it just blows up in their face. So it's you know, we'll see. On the other side of the bracket over there in the NFC, yeah, I don't think it's a strong conference. There's no way because of the quarterback play in the AFC is you're neck deep in really good guys. So I think that's where that's where it's going to be. But if you come through it and you're healthy at the end of it, you're going to be tough.
Yep.
You're going to be tough because that's what the conference commands.
Sean McDermott is addressing the media now. James Cook is back after a practice. He was excused from yesterday, so he'll be back at practice today. First full padded practice. Steve, thanks so much.
Good talking to you guys.
As always, we'll be listening today during One Bills Live. Yeah,
appreciate it. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, you
thanks,
too.
Steve.
All right, Steve Tasker joining us. We'll recap Sean McDermott for you when that whole thing wraps up as we continue on here from St. John Fisher, Jeremy and Joe. I think that you and I have discovered a bet. I don't want to necessarily make the bet,
uh-huh.
but what Steve Tasker said about the Dolphins there
yeah.
and the Bills in their one-score games, here's a bet that you would love.
Okay.
And I don't want to take it other than I'm going to take it so we can put it on the bet board.
Okay.
Ready?
What we got?
The Dolphins will never beat Josh Allen by two scores.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Dolphins will never beat him by 2 scores.
Sure.
Ever?
Sure.
See, I like it. I want to bet it. I think I want to bet.
You want to bet it?
You don't want to bet it?
No, because I don't want to sit here and hope that the Dolphins beat the Bills.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
Well, it's kind of like a McDermott bet.
A little bit, like.
And like, I'm not rooting for the Bills to have a bottom 10 offense or defense ever under McDermott, but I'm just playing the math here. They're going to have enough years with him where if he coaches 10 more years and he's already at 7, that doesn't matter.
He's never going to have a
All I need is 5% of the time or 8% of the time that he'll have a bottom 10 defense. That's kind of what you're doing here, which is eventually, how many times is Allen going to play the Dolphins?
I mean, 20
he's
more?
He's going to play 30?
16 more?
16 more, yeah. One of those games just has to go poorly and they're off that day or they have injuries. I'll bet it. He's never going to lose. He's going to lose the Dolphins by 2 scores. When's the last time Allen lost to a team by 2 scores?
That's right. That's the thing. The Bills don't lose by 2 scores, period.
Right, the Bills don't. Steve just mentioned it's like 40 games.
Yep.
Was the last time, was Allen even in there?
The last time the Bills lost by two
scores. Oh, is that the Colts game?
It's the Colts game, yeah.
Okay. Jonathan Taylor scored like 5 touchdowns. Okay. So in his entire career, I'm going to find this. How many times has Josh Allen lost? Can I go post-rookie? Post-rookie?
Sure, post-rookie.
All right, I'll even go to 2019, which he wasn't even the guy he was yet.
Does he have as many regular season double-digit losses as he does postseason? Because he's got 2 postseason.
He has double-digit losses. I believe, by looking at this right here, Josh Allen has 3 double-digit losses in his entire freaking career.
Regular season?
Regular season.
And two
with playoffs, it might be 4.
There's
right?
2 in the playoffs. At Kansas City and then home Cincinnati are the 2 in the playoffs.
Okay, right.
And that's it.
And in the regular season.
There's 3?
There's 3. 2 against Carson Wentz, funny enough.
Yeah.
The Eagle game in 2019 where they got smoked and it was really windy.
Yep.
The Colt game that you mentioned. And then
don't tell me the other one.
The other one?
The other one.
The other game, you want the score?
Yeah.
42-16 with Josh Allen at quarterback.
The Titans.
On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. That game got away from them late. Tre'Davious White didn't play. Josh Norman gave up a touchdown.
That game was, I think, was the first play of the game, Andre Roberts fumble?
I think so. I remember.
On offense.
I remember that game being like, I know it looked bad, but it wasn't as bad as it looked. That's the one
you had that take coming in after 42-16?
Yes. There are lots
of
games.
It wasn't that bad.
There are lots of games that go that way. That's the game where Derrick Henry stiff arms Josh Norman through the center of the universe and it didn't count because there was a holding penalty.
Right, yep.
Quick thing from the NFL that will be different this year. The league has made it a rule. That's right, a rule that coaches have to speak with the media at halftime.
Ooh.
Head coaches.
Really?
Yes. Each team has to provide a head coach. One in the first half, one in the second half, all teams.
Oh, they're not going to like that.
Coaches previously had the choice to talk to sideline reporters either way, during their way to the locker room at the end or heading back onto the field. Neither option was a requirement. This year, Mike Florio discovered that the NFL VP of Broadcast Rights and Compliance, Kathy Yancey, announced a change regarding media obligations during games. Both coaches, every game, required to talk to reporters during the game.
Wow.
Yep.
They're going to hate that.
They are, and they're not going to say anything.
Why do we need this? Right. Do we? When's the last time we got something? Did Nick Saban, like, twice ever give us something interesting, and it was because he couldn't hear?
The most interesting thing that has ever come out of coaches speaking at halftime was Carissa Thompson lying about a conversation she didn't have.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Very controversial. Of course, you shouldn't do that.
But part of the reason her defense, remember, was
nobody ever says anything.
Right.
That was the most memorable thing I've ever gotten from a halftime conversation with the coach.
And it's Nick Saban and COVID being so far away that he couldn't hear the reporter.
Right.
And he's just yelling, what? Over and over.
Yeah. All right. We'll get a break in. We'll recap anything we had from Sean McDermott. He spoke with the media. First padded practice on the way here from St. John Fisher on WGR.
It is more anxiety than it is excitement, just because there is no test track. So it can't be, well, hey, when I was back at Eastern Illinois in 2009, we did this thing that I think kind of worked. Nobody's ever done anything like it. So special teams coaches, just by nature, are always thinking of worst case scenario. And the guys give me a hard time, like, hey, be ready for this thing. Like, coach, that hasn't happened in 3 years. Well, now we're in uncharted territories.
Matthew Smiley, Bill's special teams coach. News on why Damar Hamlin might be back at the number one safety spot.
Mike Edwards, according to Bill's head coach Sean McDermott, is week to week. So that is not good. He was slow played, right? Kind of, even Sal said, like, he was still on the field. He was just with the second team. So was he actually at any lesser risk of injury? I guess not really. So he went second team, then got in with the first team, and then back to the second team and back and forth, and now he's week to week with a hamstring injury. So yeah, big opportunity for Hamlin and for Cole Bishop. Cam Lewis was getting some reps I saw on Friday, but Hamlin appears to be the one that's getting the most reps.
Yeah. Not an opportunity for Justin Simmons.
Listen, I feel like Justin Simmons.
Just saying, if there's an injury,
the 57th best player in the NFL, according to the NFL players, they've got the money for that too, right?
Yep.
They have the Trey White money. I'm safe in assuming they still have that money to do something with. Hamlin was not, like, a lot of the PFF stuff and like tackling maybe was a little rough, but Hamlin, when he started 15 games 2 years ago, was like a league average safety. Like, by the numbers, he wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And there was that one big play against Miami that might have even been more in Jaquan Johnson, but he played a full season for them at safety, and I don't remember coming in here every day saying, man, they got to do something about safety, the guy who's replacing Micah Hyde right now. So I'm not saying you want Hamlin as your starting safety, but I'm not, like, terrified of it if he's going to be their number one guy next to Taylor Rapp.
Chase Claypool, day-to-day toe injury.
Yes. The other Mike Edwards, by the way, is in concussion protocol.
I was going to say, the fact that there are two Mike Edwards on the team.
Yes. There's a lineman, offensive lineman.
Problematic.
Well, now you'll see neither of them today.
Okay.
They're both going to be not practicing.
So now when you ask Sean McDermott for an update on Mike Edwards, you have to say which one.
Well, or you could just say, yeah, you have to. Maybe he'll assume that you mean plural.
Yep.
Your guy Tyrell Shavers over there on the auxiliary field.
Liked him last year.
Yep.
Thought he made a couple impressions. Let's see if that plays out.
When's the last undrafted Bills receiver that had it a year for them?
Ooh, last undrafted.
Undrafted receiver.
Stevie was a late pick.
Stevie was a seventh.
Was David Nelson drafted?
No, he was that core, the Chan Gailey receiving core, if I remember correctly, was a seventh-round pick in Stevie Johnson, and then Donald Jones and David Nelson were both undrafted guys.
What about Naaman Roosevelt? Was he on that team, too?
He was. I think he was also undrafted. Their whole team was just undrafted. It was a team of Tyrell Shavers.
Yeah.
Shaversies. Oh, I know. Robert Foster.
Yes, that's right.
Robert Foster. 1 year. 1 year wonder for Robert Foster. Give me that from Shavers. Somebody's going to, have an opportunity to win that job. That's part of what's interesting about our bet is if Claypool, who I feel like is not tracking towards making the team right now, or
yeah, I think so too,
or Valdez Scantling maybe as a surprise cut, that's probably less likely. If one or even two, but if one of those guys doesn't make the team, Anyone got any clue right now who the leader in the clubhouse would be to knock them off? Like, maybe it would be a Shavers.
Yeah.
Or whoever would be their punt returner, which I have not heard a peep about who their punt returner is going to be.
Where can I stream the Rugby Sevens? I got to see Elona Mar. I've got to see.
I do believe Peacock.
How long
be...
until she runs someone over? The U.S. is playing France in Rugby Sevens. Give the ball to Elona Mar.
I mean, the way she's being hyped up, you might think it's like the first play. Rugby Sevens. I'm on Peacock right now on my computer over here, and it's not in the first three things that are being promoted.
Speaking of the women's sports angle, did you see Dawn Staley on Caitlin Clark's non-selection of the Olympic team?
No.
She flat out said she should be there. Like, no bones about it. If we had to do it over again, she's definitely playing better than some of the players here. That Caitlin Clark should be there. The best players argument, which I bought, I believed it. Caitlin Clark started playing incredibly. She's, by the way, there's a stat of the day, stat of the year out there, that Caitlin Clark now has more career assists than 75% of the players in WNBA history.
That's incredible.
Like, she's out of control, as expected. She's been great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. All right.
They can't bring her once you're there. I'm sure you can't, right?
No.
Did you watch while you were off the WNBA All-Star game or see it? What happened?
I saw Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese connecting a couple times.
They did. And it was their format's cool. It's Team USA against the WNBA All-Stars.
Yeah.
So it was Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese against the team that they didn't make.
Yes.
And they were awesome.
Yep.
They were incredible. So I was a little proud of the sports media landscape that it didn't devolve right back into all the crazy take land that we saw when she didn't make the team in the first place.
Well, football was around, you know?
Football, yes. Right. Thankfully, football kind of prevented that, I think.
We got football to get in the way.
Yep. I can't find the rugby match. We got Nadal Djokovic, though. That's being promoted. I don't see the rugby. That's the thing about the Olympics. There's so many live events going on at the same time that... Like, I've got multi-view tennis, multi-view top events, men's street. What is that? Is that skateboarding?
Men's street. Is that
breaking? The preliminary in men's street. Oh, yeah.
Is that breaking?
No, I think that's skateboarding. Breakdancing?
Okay. Breaking. You don't call it breakdancing, Joe. It's called breaking.
I forgot about breaking as a thing.
It is called breaking.
I've got men's mountain bike. If we're being real, if rugby sevens is going on right now, men's mountain bike should not be ahead of it. Slalom, men's canoe. Watched some of that yesterday. That is a crazy sport. it's whitewater rafting. I don't know how they differentiate who's better. Now it's time.
So, all right, an Olympics take. Let me get you this take. I saw this through my feed, people jumping on it, dunking on it, or agreeing to it.
Yeah.
Galen Hall, who I don't really know much about him, but a big long post on the Olympics and on the swimming. It's a hot take. And I'm deciding. Okay. I'm just trying it on for size. Here it is. An Olympics take as we get ready for Bill's practice to begin. My hot take is that it's BS that swimmers get to win 347 gold medals for swimming a bunch of different strokes and corresponding extra relays. Thus, Michael Phelps gets to be the greatest athlete of all time instead of Usain Bolt. Swim from A to B as fast as you can. Why do you get extra golds for doing that in different and slower ways? Track doesn't have 100 meter with your hands behind your back, 200 meter one-legged hop, or the 300 meter sprint with really big steps. Track doesn't even get to have 4x200. Bolt runs 100, 200, and 4x1. If you only swim freestyle, you do the 50, the 100, the 200, the 4x1, and the 4x2, and the freestyle leg of the 4x1. If you can do a second stroke, you get to pile on even more. It makes no sense. Galen Hall on Twitter seems like a nice individual. Hating on swimmers getting so many events.
And how do we feel about this take?
I feel like it's legit. I feel like it's fair. It's a fair thing to point out. That, sure, it's somewhat specialized.
Yeah.
But... There's a 50, there's a 100, there's a 200, then there's a 4x1. You just do the same exact thing. So the 100 and the 4x1, you just do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And you get two medals for it.
Although, like, the one point about, like, the track events, there are different. Like, Usain Bolt would compete in different things, right?
He does, like, three events. But Usain Bolt can't do the 10,000 meter. Not that they do that either.
Yeah, he probably can't. He could do the relay, right?
He does the 4x1.
The 4x1.
Where each one does 100 meters.
Okay, okay. All right, I don't mind this take, but I feel like we're just hating on...
He's basically saying that swimming has found a way to pump its own tires with medal counts.
Yeah. Is part of that, though, because swimming is maybe the most exciting event to watch?
I'll tell you this.
So that they have pumped... They've done that on purpose because yes. It is the most exciting. It's the best for TV. They want as much of it as they can get.
I would agree with that 100%. Swimming is good on TV.
Swimming is so good
on TV. It is just the graphics where the lanes are there, and there's the name, and there is the flag. The other problem, whatever, it's dramatic. I watched one of the events yesterday where 1 through 8 were separated by less than 1 second.
The ending, it really is the most exciting finish, right?
Yes.
I think it's the most exciting finish at the Olympics.
That's probably right.
The crowd is right there, too. Usually you have a little bit of an atmosphere in there.
It's good television.
I'll say this.
You know what else they don't have?
I bet it's the one place you don't mind replay review. Because you get that underwater cam where they show slow motion, like who touched first.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Guess what they don't have in swimming? A rules analyst. No one shows up. This is where somebody tells me, actually, they do. Somebody faulted, and they go, oh, his foot is off the platform.
There wasn't a controversy a couple months ago in the, it was like the Big Ten Championships, where a swimmer got disqualified after winning because he jumped into the other lane to celebrate with his teammate before the rest of the race was finished.
I did see that. That was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
That was pretty
really dumb. Drew in Hamburg has a take on swimming.
Hey, Drew, what's up?
What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, long-time swim coach here, and so I had to hop in on the take about, the having all the different medals that people that can win for the different races.
Yep.
And I think, to the average viewer, I think it's easy to, look at some of those different races and say, hey, they're doing the same thing over and over again, but in reality, in practices and stuff, when you're looking at the 50, the 100, the 200, the techniques, the strategy, everything is so different. The different strokes, everything is so different that, to be able to specialize in a lot of different things is hard because, you only have so much practice time and you have to dedicate that time to different things. So yeah. I just wanted to hop in and share that, it is might seem like not a lot, but it is very difficult to do.
All right, thanks, Drew. The only reasonable response now is we need a track coach to call in. Can't just have a swim coach. Thanks, Drew.
Yeah.
I thought it was just an interesting point. The point isn't that it's not impressive or it's not good.
Yeah.
It's just
it's inflated
that they've pumped the medals into that sport above others. That's the take.
Who was the American star rugby player you were talking about again?
Ilona Marr. She already ripped one off.
She didn't, but she made a tackle right before this.
And the person retired on the spot.
That's one thing I didn't think about rugby is you have a Derrick Henry in rugby that's also
playing defense.
Patrick Willis. it's Derrick Henry and Patrick Willis in one person. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Early
France is
early lead to France.
To the U.S. a little bit here early on. Rugby sevens.
How is France winning? Give the ball to Ilona Marr.
I don't know.
What are we waiting for?
I don't know. How much is a touchdown?
What are we waiting for?
What's a rugby touchdown?
It's called a try.
A try?
17-7. Maybe it's called a try. I don't know. I get mixed up on Aussie football, regular rugby sevens.
Keeping track of all the rules and all the – did you ever see what the penalty shot looks like in handball?
No.
It's ridiculous. The guy is 5 feet away from the goaltender who's just waving his arms like an inflatable wacky man, whatever. And it's just –
listen.
Feels like he would score every single time.
No fan of American football is allowed to make fun of any other sport for the amount of rules they have. Not allowed. American football has more rules than any sport.
Yeah.
Ineligible lineman downfield on an RPO. Oh, he's within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage. Whatever. All right. Back with Extendo Sports, closing things out from training camp here at St. John Fisher. Extra Point Show to follow.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, France USA rugby sevens women might be Bill's Chiefs of the divisional round.
They just hit two giant touchdowns.
Yeah.
Tries.
France looks to be a good team. So today, pads on for the first time. We are at Fisher, and of course, we'll keep you updated. Extra Point Show coming up. Sean McDermott spoke with the media. Cole Bishop getting first-team snaps in a walkthrough because with Mike Edwards, safety, week to week with a hamstring issue,
yep.
All of a sudden that's Cole Bishop, DeMar Hamlin season.
Yeah. Fans are pouring in here right now. What do you think right now is the second most popular Bills jersey?
Milano? It's my guess.
It probably
Milano.
Was Diggs, right?
Sure, sure.
And probably also maybe, I don't know, were Hayden Poyer big jersey guys for fans?
Yeah.
Trey White was a big one.
Yeah. Milano. Played a while, re-signed, Milano. Became an all-pro. Milano's my guess.
All right.
You know one thing about camp now that's different from camp? We should have brought this up with Pete Quelle, Bills COO, Bills and Sabres COO. He was on the team that got the Bills to come to training camp initially. Part of that project is that 15 years ago training camp, you know the number one jersey was here? It was like Jim Kelly, Thurman.
Yeah.
And Andre and Bruce.
Yeah.
And you would just see a bunch of jerseys of people that were not on the team. And now, I mean, it's
Allen.
It's Knox, Kincaid, Allen.
Yeah.
I guess you'd have like some Diggs and some Davis out here somewhere.
There's a Bruce Smith jersey walking by over there though, right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not.
It's not the same. Used to be 10 legacy jerseys to 2 regular.
I would have appreciated though the group of fans, which might have been a lot of them, with the failed drought players. Like, did everybody else like me have a closet of failed drought players? And you're like, I had a Lossman, Edwards, Bledsoe. I probably had all 3 of those jerseys hanging in my closet at one point. It's like a,
okay.
It's not like medals. Like, I made it through the Lossman era. Here's my jersey to prove it.
We ask this question every year. We haven't asked it yet this year. Who's the drought era player you'd add to this team if you could right now?
The drought era player I would add to this team right now is going to be Lee Evans.
I had 2 names immediately pop up for their specific needs right now. Evans was one of the 2. The other was on defense.
Schobel.
Mario.
Mario's the right answer. Yeah.
Mario.
But those are the positions.
Yeah, maybe. Jarris Bird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Safety.
Anyway.
All right. There's a Dolphins jersey in the crowd over
what?
There. It's a kid. He's all right. Waddle.
How old?
8 or 9.
All right,
looks
fine.
Like mom's got a Bills hat on, but he's got a Dolphins jersey. There he is.
All right, that's fine.
He's got a Bills hat on.
What?
Who is this kid? Okay. I think I saw the back of the jersey. No, wait. Can this be right?
Did it say Allen?
Did he wear 17 in Miami? I think the back might have said Hollins.
Mac Hollins Miami jersey? Wow.
Well, I'm just double checking. What did Hollins wear in Miami?
Mac Hollins.
If not, I think it's Waddle. Maybe I just
Mac
right
Hollins'
wrong.
Biggest fan is here today. He's been with him from the start.
Rooting for this kid for it to be
Never
Mac
Never mind
Hollins.
That I had him stashed in Dynasty, so I'm like his second biggest fan.
That internet's not working. All right, I'm going to give the kid the benefit of the doubt and hope Mac Hollins wore 17.
Mac Hollins.
He wore number 86.
That's why we
86?
Okay, so that's just a kid with a Bills hat and a Dolphins jersey.
Kid. It was number 17?
It was number 17, for sure. It could have been Tannehill.
It didn't say Allen on the back? What if you did that? Is that a move?
A Dolphins Allen jersey?
Yeah, like he owns the Dolphins? Is that a move? You're 8. Is that a move? 8 years old.
Don't you need, like, shouldn't it say owner on the back? It shouldn't say Allen. Is that a jersey? Dolphins number 17 and the nameplate says owner.
Owner.
I could get down with that. We'll see. Let's hope that that's what that was.
All right. Does Waddle wear 17?
Waddle wears 17.
Okay.
Tannehill wore 17 before that.
17's not a
good. He looks a little young for Tannehill.
17's not a good receiver number. I'm saying it. There, I said it. It's not a good receiver number. Of the teens.
No, 11, that's not true. 17, no,
11's
you're
better.
Because Allen is the Bills quarterback.
11's better. 13's better. 14's better. 15's better.
Plaxico Burress in 17 was a vibe.
That's true. He was. And today I learned he had 140 targets the year that they won the Super Bowl.
Yep. How about
and
that?
Only 1,000 yards. And Eli threw for 3,300 that year.
Right. That was forcing the ball, huh?
Yes.
70 catches on 140 yards. 40 catches, targets, they were fine.
Extra Point Show coming up. Stay tuned, of course. All the updates you can handle from Bills training camp. We are back tomorrow morning right here. Same seats. And we'll get you the updates on the first padded practice as things get spicy, likely. Jeremy and Joe, Extra Point Show coming up.
We'll be right back.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whatever. All right. Back with Extendo Sports, closing things out from training camp here at St. John Fisher. Extra Point Show to follow.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, France, USA, Rugby Sevens women might be Bills Chiefs of, like, the divisional round.
They just hit two giant touchdowns.
Yeah.
Tries.
France looks to be a good team. So today, pads on for the first time. We are at Fisher, and of course, we'll keep you updated. Extra Point Show coming up. Sean McDermott spoke with the media. Cole Bishop getting first team snaps in a walkthrough because with Mike Edwards' safety week to week with a hamstring issue,
yep.
All of a sudden that's Cole Bishop, DeMar Hamlin season.
Yep. Fans are pouring in here right now. What do you think right now is the second most popular Bills jersey?
Milano? It's my guess.
It probably was Diggs, right?
Sure, sure.
And probably also maybe, I don't know, were Hyde and Poyer big jersey guys for fans?
Yeah.
Trey White was a big one.
Yeah. Milano. Played a while, re-signed, Milano. Became an all-pro. Milano's my guess.
All right.
You know one thing about camp now that's different from camp? We should have brought this up with Pete Quelle, Bills COO, Bills and Sabres COO. He was on the team that got the Bills to come to training camp initially. Part of that project is that 15 years ago training camp, you know the number one jersey was here? It was like Jim Kelly, Thurman,
yeah,
and Andre, and Bruce.
Yeah.
And you would just see a bunch of jerseys of people that were not on the team. And now, I mean, it's
Allen.
It's Knox, Kincaid, Allen.
Yeah.
I guess you'd have like some Diggs and some Davis out here somewhere.
There's a Bruce Smith jersey walking by over there though,
yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not.
It's not the same. Used to be 10 – legacy jerseys to two regular.
I would have appreciated though the group of fans, which might have been a lot of them, with the failed drought players. Like, did everybody else like me have a closet of failed drought players? And you're like, I had a Lossman,
Spiller.
Edwards, Bledsoe. I probably had all three of those jerseys hanging in my closet at one point. It's like a
Okay.
It's not like medals. Like, I made it through the Lossman era. Here's my jersey to prove it.
We ask this question every year. We haven't asked it yet this year. Who's the drought era player you'd add to this team if you could right now?
Ooh. The drought era player I would add to this team right now is going to be Lee Evans.
I had two names immediately pop up for their specific needs right now. Evans was one of the two. The other was on defense.
Schobel.
Mario.
Mario's the right answer. Yeah.
Mario.
But those are the positions.
Yeah, maybe. Jarris Bird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Safety.
Anyway.
All right. There's a Dolphins jersey in the crowd.
What?
There. It's a kid. He's all right. Waddle.
How old?
8 or 9?
Right,
looks
fine.
Like mom's got a Bills hat on, but he's got a Dolphins jersey. There he is.
All right, that's fine.
He's got a Bills hat on.
What?
Who is this kid? Okay. I think I saw the back of the jersey. No, wait. Can this be right?
Did it say Allen?
Did he wear 17 in Miami? I think the back might have said Hollins.
Mac Hollins Miami jersey? Wow.
Well, I'm just double checking. What did Hollins wear in Miami?
Mac Hollins.
If not, I think it's Waddle. Maybe
Mac,
I just
Mac
right
Hollins'
wrong.
Biggest fan is here today. He's
Bill.
Been... He's been with him from the start.
Rooting for this kid for it to be
Never
Mac
Never mind
Hollins.
That I had him stashed in Dynasty, so I'm like his second biggest fan.
That internet's not working. All right, I'm going to give the kid the benefit of the doubt and hope Mac Hollins wore
the
17.
Mac Hollins.
He
that's
wore
why,
number 86.
That's why we,
86?
Okay, so that's just a kid with a Bills hat and a Dolphins jersey.
It was kid. It was number 17?
It was number 17, for sure. It could have been Tannehill.
It didn't say Allen on the back? What if you did that? Is that a move?
A Dolphins Allen jersey?
Yeah, like he owns the Dolphins. Is that a move? You're 8. Is that a move? 8 years old.
Don't you need, like, shouldn't it say owner on the back?
I just
then it shouldn't say Allen. It should say, is that a jersey? Dolphins number 17 and the nameplate says owner.
Owner.
I could get down with that. We'll see. Let's hope that that's what that was.
All right. Does Waddle wear 17?
Waddle wears 17.
Okay.
Tannehill wore 17 before that.
17's not a
good... He looks a little young for Tannehill.
17's not a good receiver number. I'm saying it. There, I said it. It's not a good receiver number. Of the teens...
No, 11, that's not true. 17, no,
11's better.
Because Allen is the Bills quarterback.
11's better, 13's better, 14's better, 15's better.
Plaxico Burress in 17 was a vibe.
That's true, he was. And today I learned he had 140 targets the year that they won the Super Bowl.
Yep. How about
and
that?
Only 1,000 yards. And Eli threw for 3,300 that year.
Right. That was forcing the ball, huh?
Yes.
70 catches on 140 yards. 40 catches, targets, they were fine.
Extra Point Show coming up. Stay tuned, of course, all the updates you can handle from Bills training camp. We are back tomorrow morning right here, same seats. And we'll get you the updates on the first padded practice as things get spicy, likely. Jeremy and Joe, Extra Point Show coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.